This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. As I teased in Crosstalk, Jeff and Brian's segment of the day is coming up at 4:20 here. You're not going to want to miss that, Cowboys fans. Oh, it's a big one.
Wow. Wow.
Hello.
Wow.
So we're 20 minutes away. Now, if you got to step out of the truck or anything for any reason, you can always go back to the beginning of any segment with the radio.com instant rewind functionality there. You can go back to the start of any segment. Tomorrow we'll have Joe Looney on 4:40. Looking forward to that Joe Looney show. But right here, it is time for some Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team.
Tweet, tweet.
The Cowboys run defense. Yards per game. This is unbelievable. I teased. It might even be worse than you thinking. 178.3 yards per game surrendered on the ground right now. That's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a team that isn't good, like, on a per-play basis, but also you're getting your butts kicked, so teams just get to keep running it, and you still don't stop them, so it ends up looking really, really bad, when really, it's just really bad.
Okay.
You know?
Yards per carry, 5.18. Is that bad or really, really bad? It's 31st in the NFL.
That's between really bad and really, really bad. Yeah, okay. And Mike McCarthy, I thought, told you the reason for it today at his press conference. I thought it was a great quote. He was talking about, as an offensive guy, what I'm looking for is players with bad eyes on defense. That's what the Cowboys have. You got defensive tackles who don't, you know, not enough in the butt, and you got guys with bad eyes playing linebacker, playing safety, supposed to be holding the edge. You got guys that are looking over here and going over here, and it's like, well, hold on now. Your job was back here. And we taught you in the 6th grade who you're going to watch when the ball is snapped to tell you where to go. If you can't do the stuff that we taught you to do with your eyes in the 6th grade, we're in trouble.
They're falling for that eye candy way too much.
Yeah.
Can you address that with film, or is there a football IQ component in there that comes to that awareness that's unteachable to an extent? Where you guys come with that? Is this laziness and bad coaching, or is there a talent for being able to play with your eyes?
Part of it's preparation, for sure. A lot of the guys who have the best, quote, instincts are also the guys who spend the most time studying the teams that they're going to play. So you have the best feel for tendencies, and you're ready for the team you're going to play and what you think they'll do in certain situations. But it's not necessarily guessing. It's very educated guessing at times. But I don't know, because you have the Cowboys have guys this year where, look, there's a reason that Albert Breer is writing about Jalen Smith potentially not being here next year, and it's because he's one of the biggest culprits of this. A lot of big run plays against the Cowboys are because, Jalen Smith, where are you looking? Your job is somewhere in here in a gap. Why are you watching a tight end who's going underneath to coverage that someone else is waiting for in zone coverage? Why aren't you here doing your job? Your key told you, it's a run play. You have a gap. But you're running outside the formation to a guy that has nothing to do with your job. It's something that you'll see it at least 2 or 3 times a game from Jalen Smith. What are you looking at? And where are you going? And it's a 30-yard run. And it's like, oh, God, the Cowboys' defensive tackles. And it's true that they get blown off the ball. But the play was designed for you to tackle that man for a 1-yard gain. And it was available. But your eyes are taking you somewhere.
He's a compromised player. He's having to guess to get to where he needs to be. He's taking a chance. It's not every time. He just doesn't know when his foot's going to fire or when it's not going to fire. And so he has to compensate for that. And so he gets caught in situations where it's like, I think, okay, I'm reading this. I think the ball's going to end up over here. But you can move him. and he can't get back once he makes the determination that he's going to try and sell out to go make the play. That's the redirection stuff is really hard for him.
Yeah.
Because he can't get back to it. It's like most guys could say, oh, you got me, but I could retrace and get back here. He can't retrace.
It's really hard, and I think anybody that's played sports as a weekend warrior or just the regular kid in the neighborhood like a lot of us were. A lot of us didn't get to go D1 like you brought us. But we all know what that's like when you have to try to guess to get the ball from a better player. And I think that's exactly what Jalen Smith is stuck with because it's the change of direction. You can't change direction and get back in position before you're toast.
Right.
And, you know, it's got to be tough for Jalen because he was born to do exactly that at 255 pounds. And to not be able to recreate that's got to be very frustrating. And I do salute him for doing as good as he had. But, yes, he's getting hit for a lot of big runs, and that's part of the reason the Cowboys have given up 34 runs of 10-plus yards. That is dead last in the NFL, almost five per game. Touchdowns by run, 11, 31st in the NFL. Now here's damning. Yards before contact, 549. That's 32nd. Yards after contact, 673. So they don't get there, and they don't wrap up, and then they let the guy run away a lot. 673 yards. That's 31st in the NFL. That's Ben Fennel underscore NFL here to start us off on Cowboys Twitter. And just the tail of the tape cements it even more and verifies what your eyes have been telling you. This defense is not stopping anybody on the ground. And I expect those numbers to get worse. You know, I expect it to go up maybe 190 yards per game on the ground or something like that. Because if you're going up against the Cowboys, you're thinking, dude, the only way we lose this game is what? If somehow we let them go crazy in the running game and if we turn it over. And literally all we have to do is run it 5 yards at a time. And some of the good running teams significantly more than that. All right, elsewhere here on Cowboys Twitter, we go to the account of John Machota with The Athletic and a brilliantly simple tweet. Bobby Belt piled on it with the details here, but it was just your Cowboys 2020 free agent additions and a group that we, most of us, talked about how we loved, and it gave the Cowboys a chance to address their defense and keep this championship window open. But just the name sitting there, Everson Griffin, Gerald McCoy, Don Terry Poe, Alden Smith, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Greg Zuerlein's even a fail of a pick. Cam Irving, I guess, has been okay, at least in the one game. Blake Bell at tight end, Daryl Worley at corner. More than half of them gone already. Most of the other ones completely incompetent. This has to send a scare through a front office, doesn't it? How do we get stuff this wrong? Are we at risk of this happening again? Should we just not spend in veteran free agency? How do you address getting around this? Is it the age of guys? Do you have to say, guys, we can't do this thing over 30 like this? Maybe we can find a situation every now and then with one, but we can't do a bunch of them.
I'd have to do something with continuity, though, too. You know, when you talk about the pro guys and what they dealt with for 10 years, basically, with Jason Garrett and that staff, then you get into a situation like you're coming in, you got new coaches. Maybe these coaches don't know what they want. And we keep talking about Mike McCarthy just saying, bring me players. But then all of a sudden you start to see, okay, I bring you players. A, they're not getting coached very well. B, oh, wait, they don't fit what you're trying to teach them. Okay, that's a very dangerous recipe. I'm not defending. The pro scouts had a bad spring. They really did. They were told to go get guys to try and fill holes, that they had problems that the college guys didn't draft well enough on some defensive positions. Yeah. So now you're trying to make up, and it's double the damage. You didn't do anything in college. You didn't do anything in the pro side of it. So, yeah, you are what you are right now. You have to go back and say, okay, they told me to bring this type of guy in, but in actuality, they needed this guy or this guy. You know, I think that's where they're at as far as the scouting department. Yeah, they know they were bad, but they also know, hey, we didn't help those coaches either, or they didn't help us.
Does this kind of go to what Will McClay was brought in to do, marrying the scouts with the coaches and having great communication, and maybe that was interrupted a little bit with the weird offseason?
Yeah, the triangle. He calls it the Bermuda Triangle because at the top of the triangle is the Joneses, and then the coaches are at one corner and the scouts at the other. And in the middle, you've always got two groups that are pissed off at you. So what you have to do is you have to be a really good diplomat in a way of dealing with all that. So, yeah, it's very difficult. It's not an easy job to sit in that chair.
Well, you know, sometimes guys don't know what they want, or they're frustrated, or they're changing directions. And, you know, sometimes you have the best of intentions. You just didn't quite execute the plan, and you got unlucky on old guys.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. You know, Mike McCarthy comes from an organization in Green Bay where he didn't have a whole hell of a lot of say. Then all of a sudden he has some say. They're asking him his opinion. Who knows? He might have said, hey, coach, we got Don Terry Poe. Oh, God, I remember Don Terry Poe. Oh, yeah. Hey, we got a chance. Gerald McCoy. Oh, God, yeah, Gerald McCoy. Are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, so you gotta kind of be careful of that, kind of trying to do what the coaches want you to do.
Okay, we're talking quite a bit about the Cowboys free agent class here in Cowboys Twitter, and Bobby Belt put a little bit more detail on that. It ended up being $27.5 million in guarantees on outside free agent this offseason, writes Belt on Twitter. The most they've spent since 2012. If Worley and Poe are cut, traded, and then they've already moved on from 19.75 million of those guarantees before the halfway point of the season. Yeah, was that Nate Livings and Mackenzie Bernadeau and Brandon Carr?
Yeah, sure was.
27.5, though, you could have kept Byron and still had nine left over.
Why would you do that to me?
What, bring that up?
Yeah, why would you do that to me on a Wednesday?
I don't know. What else would you rather do with that money?
Nothing. That was exactly what I would do with that money. It's just, it hurts inside.
Signed the quarterback 2 years ago. That's what you should have done.
Could have done that, too. Yeah. You know, and it's teams generally, I think, Brian, you can tell me if it's accurate or not.
No, it's
but
not.
I feel like, sir, I will say it before you shoot it down. On a Wednesday. I feel like teams can overreact to what doesn't work. Like the Cowboys get burned by veteran free agency, and suddenly it's like, okay, homegrown guys. Like, we got to stockpile these draft picks, these old guys. That doesn't work. So throw that crap in the trash and get ready. We're going to stockpile up here. We're going to get our picks. We're going to have a bunch of young guys in here, and we're going to grow them, and we're going to develop them because we can't trust what's coming off the streets.
Well, they've tried that. They tried that, and then all of a sudden they couldn't draft defensive players, you know? It would have been nice if Malik Collins would have worked out. It'd been nice if Taco would have worked out. It'd been nice if all those guys that Rod Marinelli liked from Miami, with Joe Jackson and guys like that, all those guys would have worked out, but they didn't. And those were guys you were kind of counting on to step up and play. And so you have to go out and get veteran guys. And like I said, that's the danger. You're trying to cover for something you've already made a mistake at. Now you've doubled the mistake.
Fingers crossed that Randy Gregory can save you. That's where you're at.
Well, they've got a little bit of a history here of trying to get something for nothing. That's what I think they need to remember, and sometimes it's worked. So I don't know what you take from that. Robert Quinn, you got for very little, and he was good for you. Alden
Smith.
Give
the pro guys some credit for that one, yeah.
Yeah, Alden Smith came from not playing for a half decade, and you're getting something good out of it. But then you go to guys like Don Terry Poe and Everson Griffin, where – you're talking about dudes that for basically an entire offseason, the NFL said no thanks.
I tell you what, the Cowboys said sure. Yeah, I think you're onto something about Everson Griffin, though, Jeff, and going to Detroit. And I hope so it becomes a fifth-round pick for the Cowboys. But, yeah, I mean, he might have been a guy that needed the training camp, you know, to have some success. Yeah.
All right, Cowboys Twitter here on your home of the Cowboys. We go to the account of at Jameson Hensley. Spelled just as it sounds. You might want to go there to see the video of Dez Bryant one-handed catches. He tweeted, here is Dez wearing number 11 as the scout team's Chase Claypool, making a one-handed grab in the Ravens' first practice. Moving around pretty good.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Bryant's inside word there from Baltimore reflected that?
Sure did. They're excited about having the guy. That's what I got from the guys there. They're like, hey, man, guy looks good. I mean, that's encouraging.
And he's fun. You know, his enthusiasm is there. Yeah. I think, you know, maybe some of the distraction parts of his personality have been matured out of the way over the last 24 months or so. So we'll see with Dez Bryant. And hopefully here over the next couple of weeks, we'll get more of those insider reports from Broadus.
We'll do that for sure.
That, he could be approaching the active roster. Former Cowboy and Eagle defensive lineman Brian Baldinger is now with the NFL Network. He's going to join us tomorrow at 5 o'clock, actually. Baldy does his Baldy breakdowns on Twitter, where he just, like, picks up his smartphone and rolls tape on his computer screen and talks about what he's seeing or not seeing. And he tweeted today, I honestly can't watch any more of this and I'm not even through the first quarter. I hear a lot of yak-yak coming out of the Cowboys locker room, but this is stuff nobody wants on their resume. I think he was saying, man, you can't point the finger at coaches and talk if you're going to play like this. Because it's atrociously horrible football. And so there's easily things he's evaluating, saying this has nothing to do with coaching. You're just not good at your techniques and holding. And then we'll finish up with Johnny. Back to John Machota. Mike McCarthy says the Everson Griffin trade will specifically mean more snaps for Randy Gregory, Dorrance Armstrong, Bradley Anae.
There you go.
And, yeah, I just wanted to pass that along. A lot of people asking about Jalen Smith. They continue to ask that on Twitter and the Autoflex Leasing fan text when this topic comes up. They don't really see him as that come-off-the-edge pass rusher, do they? He's more of the blitzing pass rusher.
You got to work him with combinations. He's really good at like they call it the picks and posts and stuff. If he can attack, because he's got some strength to him, he attacks and he allows somebody else to come off, or you can work him behind two going down inside and then take him and scrape him off the backside of that. That's where he tends to have a little bit, and then you get him on a back, he can overpower a back if you get him in that type of setting.
All right, there he is. Brian brought us along with Jeff Cavanaugh. Their segment of the day is coming up next. And, gentlemen, where are you taking us today?
Well, we're going to go around the NFC, and what we can learn about where the NFL's headed from the young quarterbacks in the league is next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. Cavanaugh and brought us the two smartest football brains ever. And it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll talk with you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and live life again. Starts with a simple, confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Gentlemen.
Hello, I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
Welcome to the segment. So I want to do our Around the American Football Conference here from a couple of different angles. I do, of course, have your power rankings prepared. But I want to start with what I thought was a good question from the KMC masterpiece this morning that they asked during crosstalk, if you missed it. And that is Joe Burrow, the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, Justin Herbert, the starting quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers, both rookies, and we're only less than halfway through their rookie season. But who'd you rather? I thought that was a really good question. I'm going to lay out their numbers for you really quick. Where Joe Burrow, of course, the Bengals just lost to the Browns on a great play at the end of the game by Baker to, was it Hollywood Higgins? Bomb down the right side to win the game. But Burrow threw for 406 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick. He was 3 yards away from being their leading rusher as well. And then you go to Justin Herbert, who, where did I put his game here? 27 of 43 for 347, three touchdowns, no picks. He was the leading rusher on his team, and they beat the Jags 39-29. Both of their careers are off to a promising start, but if you had to pick one based on this sample size, who's your guy, Brian?
I'm taking Herbert is who I'm taking. I liked him all along. I have the utmost respect, and every day so grateful that Joe Burrow was part of our program at LSU. But man, I mean, Herbert, to me, when I fell in love with him watching him play against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. You know, it kept having to come back and come back and come, you know, it was back and forth kind of a thing. And he didn't flinch. He kept throwing the ball. He was accurate. He could throw all the routes. He's tough. He's mobile. You know, he's a smart guy. There's so much about his game that I really like that I think translates to what people are trying to do in the National Football League today.
Okay, and this goes back to something we've talked about a lot. Evaluating quarterbacks is hard. Like, when you start seeing guys that the whole world didn't love Justin Herbert. They liked him, they were intrigued by him, but the whole world didn't love Justin Herbert as an NFL prospect. And you start trying to go, okay, if he is going to be the best guy out of this rookie class, which, holy cow, it's way too early to say. Tua hadn't even started a game yet. But how is the world not like, well, hold on now, you should probably take Herbert number one. And it's really...
He didn't win. He didn't put up big numbers. You're looking at traits, right?
Right. And so with Herbert, what you're banking on is his yards per attempt right now as an NFL rookie is higher than it was his junior or senior year at Oregon. His completion percentage as an NFL rookie with a bad O-line is better than it was his junior or senior year at Oregon. And a lot of Oregon people tell you, well, you know, switching quarterbacks and the team around him wasn't that good. And
Head coach changed too.
Yeah. And I go back and it's like, okay, why did we miss on Dak? And we missed on Dak because we didn't lend enough credence to there's not a lot around him. And he had that team at number one in the country.
Sure did.
Holy cow. What a stud. And with Justin Herbert, it's like, okay, you had a 12-2 year as a senior, but a 9-4 and a 6-2. And it's Oregon in the Pac-12 where you're like, wait, if you're a great quarterback, shouldn't you be winning 12 games every year? And I'm saying all this to just say it's hard. Evaluating quarterbacks is hard.
If he's at USC, we might see him differently.
Maybe.
That's where, I mean, if he's playing those Pac-12 games or watching there at 11 o'clock at night trying to end our day,
yeah,
and he's spinning it around, we're like, oh, my gosh, this guy's a top five pick. You know, I feel like the people didn't give him the credit he really deserved at Oregon. Like I said, I really started to follow his game on the Rose Bowl. That's when I was like going, whoa, okay, now I need to see. And then you go back and you watch the tape, and Gavin's talking about the traits and stuff like that. And trust me, I got burned on an Oregon quarterback. I didn't get burned on Mariota, but I got burned on that Joey Harrington. You know, when you start talking about the...
I got burned on Mariota. I thought he was going to be a baller.
Yeah.
I got burned on Achilles Smith.
Yeah, I got burned too.
Achilles Smith, there you go.
You can't just say that without having a person who burned you.
Oh, I don't want to say that part.
Oh, okay. Is that a chlamydia thing? Okay, now the next thing.
Hold on, real quick. This is why I have the ultimate tiebreaker of swagger. I think Herbert's too booky. You know, I think Joe's teammates react to him. That confidence, the ability to lead through adversity, it's very important at the position. You know, to generate some confidence in your teammates when you're in that huddle and you're going to the line of scrimmage and to have all the answers. I think it's very important over the course of a career.
So my initial answer when we were talking to KMC was I would barely lean Burrow. But after looking at it more, I actually disagree. I'm going to go Herbert because I assumed in my brain for some reason, because I've watched Burrow get destroyed behind that line, that Herbert's line was better. But after looking at it, I don't think that's true. I think Justin Herbert's behind a terrible line. But he's a really good athlete. He'll run the ball. He's fearless. He's got a huge arm. Somehow he's more accurate in the league than he was at Oregon, and he's more aggressive, but that's the way it goes.
Well, go watch him play against the Saints. And it was one of those games where I'm sitting, okay, he's going toe-to-toe, and Drew Brees is not really throwing the ball down the field. But he's like a missed extra point and a field goal hitting off the upright for going into New Orleans and getting a victory there. You know, there's some places where these guys go, and you're like, okay, that's going to be a tough one. Dak in 2016, winning at Pittsburgh, winning at Green Bay. You know, these are kind of those moments where you're like, oh, he went toe-to-toe with that guy, and he no worse for wear, got a victory. And I think that's where Herbert's at with me. I think that they're going to probably change coaches on him again. They're probably going to have to bring in a bunch of different players. But I think he's a guy that's got the ability to withstand some of those types of adversities to him.
Okay. Now, this is just something I found really interesting from the NFL weekend before we get to the AFC power rankings. I was going through all the games, because you got to go through all the games if you're going to put together the perfect power ranking. How did everybody play? Against what competition? And on and on and on. And what jumped out to me is, I just told you, Joe Burrow was 3 yards away from being the leading rusher for his team against Cleveland. Justin Herbert was the leading rusher for his team against Jacksonville. He ran for 66 yards. Kyler Murray... against Seattle, threw for 360 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was also their leading rusher.
Mm.
Russell Wilson in that game threw 3 picks and lost. He also threw for 388 yards, and he was their leading rusher as well. Josh Allen and the Bills beat the Jets. He threw for over 300 yards and?
Leading rusher.
He was their leading rusher. Will the NFL ever get to a point where the running quarterback is not too terrifying to embrace that? Because you know the best look to run against? Your quarterback running it?
Yeah, they don't account for him.
Yeah, nobody accounts for the quarterback. That is
watch Daniel Jones against the Eagles, like an 80-yard run.
And I bet he was their leading rusher.
Yeah, he was.
A lot of these young quarterbacks, you look up every other week, and they're the team's leading rusher, and they do it on 8 carries. And it's like, are we going to get to the point where the NFL every week, we're like, yep, they all threw for 400 and ran for 80 on 6 attempts, and that's what the league is? I don't know, but it's creeping that way. So many of these quarterbacks are the leading rusher on the team, like every other week.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before they, you know, study what the good guys are. You know, Russell Wilson has like 800 career carries and hasn't been hurt, hasn't missed a start. It's a matter of finding the guys who are athletic and aware enough to take those yards and almost completely avoid the injury risk.
Kyler and Russ
are getting a lot better at it.
Yeah, built very similar, though. Two very similar guys, thick, short, get down.
Baseball players
know how to slide, know how to avoid. You know how to contort your body, know how to jump up when you're getting sacked so you don't get somebody to roll in the back of your legs. You know, a lot of that going on.
Finally, your American Football Conference power rankings. I welcome your feedback on twitch.tv/DallasFanCam and the AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Everybody always agrees on the order you put things in, so come get some if you want some. Just missing out on the top five. Your 4-2 Indianapolis Colts, they had a bye. Hard to jump up when you have a bye. Cleveland Browns at 5-2 beat the Bengals by 3 points right there at the buzzer. 5-2, though, for Baker and the boys. At number 5 this week is the Buffalo Bills. Beating the Jets 18-10 is not the most convincing thing, but the body of work, 5 wins. The division looks like it's yours for the taking. New England's not looking so good all of a sudden.
No.
Josh Allen is still playing well. Not like he did to start the year, but he's still playing well. I've got the Buffalo Bills at 5. Anybody want a piece of me? Would you rather have Cleveland or Indy ahead of Buffalo? Anybody want some of this?
No, you're good right there. You nailed that.
Tour of the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Just, take the gas off that Josh Allen MVP talk. We're good.
Okay, number 4, he really needs to pick it back up. My fantasy teams are no longer undefeated, you know. These little hiccups in the road, we need more touchdowns, Josh. Number 4, plus McCaffrey's hurt, Carson's hurt, Joe Mixon's hurt. There's other guys. It's not good. Number
Shut
4.
Up, Jerry.
Hey, number 4 is the Tennessee Titans, 5-1. They lost to Pittsburgh 27-24, but if they had a kicker who could make a field goal, they're still playing that game
and they got a chance.
What, you thought they should have won that game?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Well, no, they were down, and all they have to do is make a 44-yard field goal.
Battled back. Tannehill is playing like an MVP candidate. God. So, Gavin, you can throw Josh Allen out if you want, but you can't throw out Tannehill. He's in the mix. Number 3, they had a bye, is the Baltimore Ravens at 5-1. Number 2, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Just hung on. You're a coward.
27-24 over the Titans. And at number 1 is the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-1, 43-16 win over the Broncos.
Switch those top two.
Where Patty didn't even have to do anything. To be the best, you gotta beat the best. Pittsburgh, come take it if you want it.
Oh,
Kansas City.
Wave that
still
towel.
Still the kings of
Wave
the AFC.
Wave that towel.
Who'd Kansas City lose to? I already forgot. It doesn't matter.
They lost to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. That was just
Don't worry
hiccup.
About that, right? Okay.
If you want some, come get some, Pittsburgh.
Guy can't even wear his mask right. He lost
you
their coach.
You gotta earn it.
You gotta earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
well, defense just... wins championships as long as we're throwing out bumper sticker slogans.
Kansas City's not bad. They've allowed 143 points this year. They've scored 35 more than the Steelers. They've allowed 25
Wave
more.
Those towels.
It's neck and neck, but if you want it, come get it.
Watch the Cowboys beat him next week.
Come get it.
He's at JC1053 on Twitter if you want to tear him up. At Brian Broaddus on Twitter as well. If you want a high five, Broaddus, for being right in this. Jeff's just a victim of the past.
Come and take it.
They're the champions. To be
My
the best, you got to beat the best.
Dead hands.
Michael. I love it. We got to go. We're coming back to go around the NFL here in the G-Bag Nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Who wants it? Brian?
I'll take it. How about this one?
Oh!
How about this one?
Oh!
Super. Jeffrey's a diva receiver. Pay attention.
I just was kind of like, I was a distracted player. I was kind of looking around like Jalen Smith.
I was open.
I got eye candy kind of caught me. I was like, whoa, what's going on? My phone was buzzing and all kinds of stuff. So.
I run four routes hard the entire day, and you just wasted one of them.
I'm sorry about that. This is a tough day. I'm trying to do radio, and people are trying to tell me things, so it's a bad combination here right
now. I'm reading about a sex cult.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
I've seen that trending.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Yeah, don't worry. I got you covered. Yeah, I got you covered.
I got a segment for
540.
Well, how about this? Let's go first down. We'll talk about the Super Bowl 55 is going to take place in Tampa, Florida. It looks like the NFL is planning to host this thing with around 13,000 fans in attendance or 20% capacity. This is according to Adam Schefter. So it's at Raymond James Stadium, and they're thinking that, well, hey, okay, let's. This is the state of Florida. Let's see what we could do. Add some fans. So it'll be that they're going to look to keep. Once again, we're talking about pods, 6 feet apart, and so we'll see. But the NFL is leaving the possibility that they might have games. You know, they usually have that 2 week window before the Super Bowl. Well, they're thinking that maybe they'll have to have a week 18. So if they do that, then the Super Bowl will be just after they have the – or they'll start the games after the playoffs after that week 18. So keep an eye on that as we go forward here for the NFL.
Do it up, Tampa. What should that be, 12,000 fans, though, something like that?
13,000 fans are what they're looking at. And you can imagine – I wonder what the tickets would be for that thing, too. Because I've made a fortune off Super Bowl tickets in my life.
So, total guess.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a guy offer me $32,000 one time for two tickets if I could come up with it.
And did you come up with those tickets?
You would not believe how much I scrambled to find two tickets and could not come up with two.
Oh, Brian.
I tried.
Did you tell the other people that there was some money involved? Like, hey, man, I can pay you.
Lucius, you're reading my mind because okay. That's exactly what I did. I said, listen, I'll give you a cut of this. We can figure this out.
Hell of a game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was. It was one of those things where, seriously, it was like a last-minute thing. But these guys sell tickets all the time. Don't let them fool you like they don't. The league, they let them. League kind of looks the other way when that's all.
What's
going
the
on.
Most you ever made on a set of tickets?
I made $9,000 on a pair one time.
God,
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah,
congrats, man.
Yeah, I'm. If the people at the Cowboys will listen, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Why don't you have the lake house yet?
Because you buy like fishing gear and stuff like that,
or you take
your friends to Cabo, which I did. I took my friends to Cabo on that one year. Yeah,
that's
rented
nice.
A house and all that. And
$9,000, that'll get you a Johnny Manziel type of time.
Yeah,
we
had a good time. Did a little deep sea fishing, a lot of golf, a lot of beverage partaking. Mm. Yeah.
Brian's a good friend to have indeed. It is the G-Bag Nation here as we go around the NFL daily at 4:40. I got second down right here,
oh
Mr.
My
Diva.
God.
We need you to convert on third for
God.
Us. Hold your horses.
Wow.
Gained about two on mine is what we did.
Oh, we lost a yard.
Straight Diva.
Peyton Manning taking a shot at Tom Brady over the pass to Gronk. Did you want that for your down?
No, it's okay. Hilarious, though.
Yeah, Tom threw a pass to Gronk, appeared to find Gronk between three Packers defenders. Drew Praise as a great pass of the game broadcast, but Peyton Manning says it wasn't a great pass at all. Peyton, working for ESPN, does this the detail show where he looks at plays on video and tells you the great's thoughts, kind of like how Kobe Bryant did for ESPN. But Manning broke down the play and said Brady was actually trying to hit Mike Evans, and then Manning took another shot at Brady for appearing not to realize it was the fourth down on the Bucs' last play of their loss to the Bears. Do you think Tom was throwing to Gronk? Troy Aikman thought he was. Thought it was one of the best throws he made all game. I'm not so sure. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's coming on out here to Evans. Manning broke down Brady's options on the play and what was going through Brady's mind. I'm going to throw kind of a high ball to Evans that's going to be Evans' ball or nobody else's. But guess who runs right underneath it? It's Gronk. Will we get Tom to admit who he was throwing to? I don't think so. He wouldn't admit that he didn't know it was fourth down. There's no way he's going to admit he wasn't throwing to Gronk, especially after Aikman says, what an unbelievable throw. I love this from Peyton Manning. This takes balls. This is good broadcasting. This is great journalism.
Well,
to go after another enshrined member of that quarterback fraternity as a GOAT.
If you can hear the inflection when Peyton's saying it, it is, 91% sure that he's being sarcastic, but it's awesome. It's the Peyton Manning trash talk where he's like, he's stopping it and drawing cones and everything. He's like, look, he's looking at Mike Evans, you know, and now he's going, hey, he never looks over. He's not. And he's tearing him down, and they gave him crap where he's like, and here's why he's not going to admit it. You don't have to. You got the Zoom interviews, you know, people can't even hear you. You get to wear the mask. He's not going to have to acknowledge this. And so Peyton Manning he's hilarious.
He is, man. He's got that Phil Mickelson sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yes.
Where it's dry, it's incredibly witty, and, you know, he pulls it off so incredibly well. I think when you go to the fourth down thing, though, it does get a little bit personal.
Uh-huh.
And Tom couldn't admit that he didn't know it. Uh-huh. Went full J.R. Smith right there. That's the part of the journalism that I believe gives Peyton Manning real potential in this deal.
Yeah.
Do you want to trade in your cool guy card at the quarterback cocktail meetings for the rest of your life and really break it down and become an American sports broadcasting icon? Because you could, with comedic chops like that, with the ability to analyze film the way that Peyton Manning can, and then just twist that dagger a little bit, especially, you know, when it comes to your competitiveness, some of the guys who
remember
were in the
he
same
did like
era.
A mini SNL episodes, Peyton Manning.
He did.
Yeah, he's got some timing together now. He's seen some working.
It's funny that him and Eli weren't bad at SNL. You know, because I really wouldn't think it with Eli. With Eli, yeah. And then Peyton, I really didn't know he had that pleasant and funny of a personality up until, you know, I guess what was it, 5-6 years ago? He became such a big pitch man there. With all the funny commercials.
Yeah, he's really hell of a joker in college, too, from what I hear.
Yeah, quite the prankster. Especially on the training table.
It's tea. Have a bag of it.
Here's Jeff with third down.
I was just reading this quote from Zach Martin today, and sometimes, you know, things go wrong with your team and your quarterback gets concussed and almost beheaded on the field and your offensive linemen don't beat people up and people talk crap about them. And it's like, all right, let's just wait until Daddy talks about this. Let's hear what one of the veterans has to say. You know, Zach Martin wasn't on the field when Andy Dalton got hit. Hellman tweets this out. Some guy named David Hellman at Hellman DC. Zach Martin says the Andy Dalton injury was a learning moment for the young Cowboys O-linemen who were on the field. He thinks it'd be a mistake for anyone to assume the Cowboys don't have love for their teammates. Quote, if it ever comes up again, I think it'll be different. And I just heard that, and the caveman sports part of us that just loves to see people fist fight. Somebody hit DiNucci after the whistle one time this weekend, please. Because I think Zach Martin, to set an example to his young teammates, is ready to snatch somebody's head clean off their body. And I need it in my life. I just, reading the quote, if it ever comes up again, I think it'll be different. And I guarantee you he said it super calmly, but I'm waiting for the next sentence, which is, I will murder multiple people. Let it happen again, I'll kill a man.
I got this handled, guys.
Yes. And I'll beat up any teammate that doesn't help.
Yeah.
I'll beat up everyone, and you'll see how this NFL life is, boys. I know you're worried about, oh, what am I going to do on the next play? Oh, was I good enough on the last play? Oh, do I belong in the NFL? You got all these doubts creeping in. But when it's go time, Zach Martin will have you ready for go time. He's going to kill someone if there's a late hit on the quarterback this week. Write it down. In other news, is it possible Andy Dalton's going to be out for a long time?
Possible.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because they signed Cooper Rush back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cooper Rush is going to be on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
He won't clear COVID stuff in time for this weekend.
No.
So you're going into this weekend with the Nooch and what's eating Gilbert Grape, Garrett Gilbert. And then the next week, why would you need a third backup quarterback hanging out on the practice squad? If Andy Dalton were going to be back, there's no point in bringing Cooper Rush in. So just my spidey senses are telling me Andy Dalton ain't just missing 1 week.
Yeah, yeah. And my spidey senses are also telling me they're looking at DiNucci and Gilbert work, and they're like, guys, this isn't even close. And there's somebody in the building that's like, yeah, maybe Doug Nussmeier, Kellen Moore, who's like, hey, Cooper Rush actually could be better than this. And he doesn't have a job right now. So if we want to have a fair shot to evaluate some of these other players, we need a credible quarterback back there. Who can, you know, probably keep them in their offense and do some of the stuff that he and Kellen and Dak have been working on for the last 3 or 4 years, much better than a rookie or a guy in Gilbert who just came over. But, yeah, I saw that story, and I was like, oh, man. I guess Cooper Rush did have, like, 3 good preseason games, right?
He did. His first year.
Guys, yeah. Don't do this, guys. No, don't do this.
And then they drafted that kid from Western.
Mike White.
And then Mike White mind messed him up is what he did. Because when Mike White all of a sudden got drafted, all of a sudden Cooper Rush went, oh, wow, they don't like me anymore. You know,
big arm Mike White's in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just a loser.
That's another one I'm wearing.
So why don't you kill me?
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here. That's 3 hours down with 2 to go. Coming up next, Cowboys releasing 2 players a day after trading 1. Mike McCarthy on what message that sends to the players is next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.